Oh, look at that. Look at that. We are live on the Side Quest, your beautiful, wonderful, amazing weekly group discussion, therapy session about video games. I'm one of the people that will be talking today, one of the hosts, as they call us. I am Dolly Domofsky. Joining me this way. Aha, it worked.
Hey, you got it.
I got to remember it's mirrored. The underscore double underscore J, JJ Holder. How's it going, man?
Oh, I'm doing great.
It's a beautiful post-Wheelon Sunday night. I just letting everybody know we are being joined by Elon Musk on our episode tonight. This is the real Wario. SNL, for those that don't know, Elon Musk, hosted SNL. SNL has a lot of folks who are gamers on their writing staff, and they are constantly trying to inject video games into their skits, whether it's esports or I think they've done like 3 Mario skits in the last like 12 months. And
well, the SNL writing teams always tend to skew a little younger than, typical sitcom writing teams. So I buy that. I can understand that.
Of course. Well, JJ, hey, it's good to have you on tonight. A nice calm Sunday evening. Nothing going on. It's just a relaxing night. It really is. Happy Mother's Day. Happy to all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day. For all the people who are not mothers or aren't around their mothers, happy Sunday night. Happy Sunday. Hey, you know what? Let's get into some news right away. We decided we're gonna do a quicker episode today, get into some of the news and some of the other stuff and get in there, talk about stuff, and then just hike on out because I want to play some more video games, and I've got stuff I can actually talk about that is kind of interesting and stuff that JJ will laugh at me uncontrollably about. But we'll get to that in a second. We're gonna not what you're expecting. We'll talk a little bit of news. Revealed this week is a brand new game from the folks over at, why didn't I not just freaking click the button here? Hold on, I'm gonna click this button right here. I'm gonna share the screen so that everybody can see. A sequel to Judgment, known as Lost Judgment. There we go. Lost Judgment, the Yakuza spinoff. I'm gonna hit the play button on the trailer. You guys can see that right now, the trailer. I have muted it so we can kind of chat over. Did you ever play the first Judgment game?
I did not. When did the ESRB change their logo to be like the Intel logo? It's that.
Oh right, yeah, I didn't know. Let me. Well, I'm rewinding that so I can see that. Oh my gosh, yeah, you're right. Holy cow! ESRB inside. Wow, that's wild. Didn't know that. Good catch. No, so this is the new, the first trailer was revealed on Friday. Was kind of a busy news day. There was a few things that went out, but I love the visual style that they've done with this game. Remember they took out that one actor who ended up being a real skeez ball, and they put another guy in there for like the international release, and then they've kept that the good guy in there. It's basically, this is about a lawyer who passes judgment with his fists. It's an action brawler style. It's amazing what Sega will throw in as a genre to something like this. Court scene looks really serious, and then the game has like flying spin kicks with sparkles and like, you know, just bonker stuff. So great job to Sega for mixing that stuff. But yeah, they I think it's coming out in September from what they said.
I love that this franchise has become like Sega's like bread and butter. It's their like tentpole franchise now.
Yep. It really is, because they had
they make these more than they make Sonic games now.
Yes, thankfully. Although I think Sonic Mania 2 is rumored. Anyways, there's a whole Yakuza universe now, a whole multiverse universe, the MCU of Yakuza stuff, because there was this. They're obviously the original Yakuza series.
Yeah.
Then they did a bunch of remakes.
Yeah.
Then they did the wasn't there like a zombie one or something?
Yeah, there was a zombie one.
Yeah, and I Lost Judgment
and Like a Dragon or whatever the
Yeah, yep. There's an original Yakuza movie that was based off of the series on Netflix, I think from like 2007.
And like, even like that, even that Fist of the North Star game was basically Yakuza.
Yeah. So it's crazy. It's Sega's kind of star IP right now. And they just released the Judgment Remastered game, I think back in April. And they said, hey, by the way, stick around for May because we're going to have some more info then. So, yeah, they released the remastered version for modern consoles. But, yeah, here you go. It's the second Judgment game, Lost Judgment. I'm kind of for it. I mean, I think it's great. Have fun. Yeah. This is their brawler now since Yakuza is going turn-based.
Yeah, yeah. They should make we need like a Streets of Rage Yakuza game now.
yes, totally. Oh, that'd be great. Oh man, okay. There we go. Yep. Good call on that one. Another bit of news here. There is a Division Heartland is a let me hide this. What am I doing here? This guy. Stop that screen. Division I think it's Heartland is a free-to-play spin-off of Division. It's coming to coming to consoles, of course. Where else would it be going? But Ubisoft announced a free-to-play version. It's gonna be on PC, PlayStation, Xbox sometime in like end of this year, beginning of next year. They said 2021, 2022. But it's Red Storm Entertainment, who are the Ghost Recon folks. Division 2 is still doing really well, still got tons of players. And I don't know why they would want to create yet another Division game that would sort of compete with this. I mean, maybe it's different enough. I'm not 100% sure, but
I didn't know this was a thing that was coming. So I have no idea what it even is. So.
Same here. I mean, all I heard is it's a free to play version. And there's another freaking Division mobile game. So there you go. If you want a lot of Division, you're gonna get a lot of Division. also announced, I'm going to share my screen again here. A lot of stuff popping out last week. It's good. This is all the pre-E3 stuff, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, all the stuff that means... doesn't like fit on like the main experience, like the pre-roll stuff that they made.
I'm curious, Game Builder Garage. I'm curious the stuff we're actually going to get. I'm really excited for this. Nintendo revealed Game Builder Garage. Look at that, these are all coming straight from the side questing website. I have a couple of the what are the Labo things? You've bought some Labo stuff, right?
Yeah, I bought the Labo.
And they had that Toy-Con Garage in there, which lets you kind of play around with it. Yeah, and this is it. It's kind of basically the stuff they learned from Toy-Con Garage, and there's a lot of Labo-ish look to this, like the color palette they use, their style. And a lot of Mario Maker stuff, because there seems to be like this Nintendo Builder color palette they're using with this shade of yellow and some other stuff.
The traditional hard, like the
hard hat,
they look like the Met from Mega Man.
Yeah, exactly. But it's there you go. You can see them making a game here. Nintendo revealed this just little game dev software.
Yeah.
But it, you know, if initially it looks like, oh, it's kind of really simple and you're just kind of sliding these boxes and putting a character here and there and making a thing, but a platform, but it gets really in depth from, you see later in this trailer and even on the website, like, okay, you can make a little shooter thing. Sounds simple, kind of fun, kind of easy. Okay. Yeah. Visually not that great. But there's an actual, I think it's going to show here in a second. You can actually draw your own pixels.
Yeah.
You can make 3D worlds where you're driving a truck. You can make little, you know, Game & Watch type things. Suddenly the stuff, there's card games. It looks like there could be potentially some, there's a cooking game. I really see people having a lot of fun with this.
I really hope Nintendo doesn't make it a pain in the ass to like, enjoy people's creations.
Because it was a pain in the ass to enjoy the Mario Maker stuff for a long time, and it's definitely a pain in the ass to enjoy people's islands on Animal Crossing. So they said it's just gonna be with a code, the Miitopia demo. Hopefully that's something, you know, it's similar to that where you kind of log in and you just kind of look at everybody's, you know, Mii creations. And in this game, in this case, maybe you just get somebody a code and you log in, you see their whole freaking palette of games.
Hopefully you can like look at your friends list and see what they've done. But that doesn't like, but I don't think my friends are going to particularly go too hard and wild. I want to be able to ask just like, what's the most Mario Maker does have the what's popular today, what's popular, you know, random worlds and stuff like that. I hope there's just a way to experience stuff that people have made that don't require necessarily the friend code.
I think what's kind of cool with this is, and anybody can be a game programmer, and where Nintendo really had an opportunity. Okay, so Nintendo really had an opportunity with Labo to get it into schools, and they didn't. I think the problem was they said, here's the kit to make the piano. Here's the kit to make the robot. Have fun with stuff on the side with your own paper and your own. Well, kids didn't want to do that because they took it. Yeah. They did take it to like a couple schools, I guess, and a couple kid events. But the kids wanted to make the stuff that was already there and not necessarily, you know, new things. See, there's a little bit of a learning curve to create new things. Nintendo should have made.
And as Roblox has shown us, kids, when you just give them the tools without any of the distraction, they'll do some crazy shit.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. And I think what Nintendo should have done is just made a maker kit. And they did that with the Lego Mario stuff where they sold you, and I'm looking at the box where they sold you a maker kit. Here's just a bunch of different Mario related pieces. Do what you want with it, make your own levels. I mean, they sold those original levels that the kind of little mini world to play sets, but they said, here, have fun with this, make your own. They needed to do that with Labo to say, here's a bunch of like they sold you like a little packet that had like stickers and a couple little things in there, but they needed to send you like a cardboard box just full of like random shapes.
Just like the big bucket of Lego. Just like here's a bucket filled with, you know, 10,000 Lego pieces and no instruction manual. Here you go.
And have fun. Yeah. So, but this seems like it could be that direction. Maybe there's
I think the Labo branding is actually really good because the word lab being in it. And it's kind of a bummer that that's just sort of dead now. Like, it just did you ever play the WarioWare DIY?
Yeah, I still got it. I'm looking at it over there.
That's like it was great. Impressive what people were able to do with that when you sort of, because it wasn't particularly deep tools, but they were deep enough to do some crazy shit. And I can't wait to see how people break this garage games thing, like what kind of ridiculous stuff. There's, I mean, pixel artists can maybe do some incredible things with this.
I think it's going to be really cool.
Remember how much people were able to break like Little Big Planet, like fully functioning calculators and stuff for like no real reason other than just to do it.
People were remaking full games and levels and stuff,
and to see the stuff that people are doing in Dreams right now. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yep. So that's one
game that I'm gonna try eventually, just to try that stuff.
Yeah. That's in VR too now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, this is like it's a very Nintendo way. I mean, it even says you'll get to learn, you know, guided missions from the designers. But
I guess I wonder how much this will help a kid with like real world. Like use, like
sure.
How
sure.
much these tools will help work with them if they decide to actually move on to like real deal game development? Like, I wonder.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I can't imagine it being like too much of a use, but maybe it'll just like give them the bug that they need to get into.
I think it's got to be it because we learned like I keep bringing it up. My brother and I learned in RPG Maker 95, which is very easy. It's very easy stuff to use. Back then in the 90s, it was super, I think like 99, 98, 97. It was very easy to use. There you go. And that gave us the bug to do game dev. In fact, we actually, our first game dev thing was on Commodore 64 back in like 1989 or 1990. There was Gary Kitchen's Game Maker software on there. And we learned with that, and it was very simple. It was basically move a pixel left, move a pixel right, up and down. But you can get the bug from stuff that's really easy. Yeah. I do hope that there's a very good WYSIWYG editor, because the Mario Maker editor is actually really nice for folks that just want to quickly put these 2D levels together. So I'm hoping that whatever this app is, that
we don't need it to be for, especially for kids. You don't need to have it be completely abstract and then hit compile and then have the game pop up and be
you must have a separate folder system for these. Being able to share games, I think, is going to be huge, and being able to
Nintendo really should do sponsor game jams or something. Like events, like Nintendo, like contests or something like
that would be huge for something like this. That's a great idea, because that's something they miss out on. Mario Maker, they missed out on doing that. They had the ninja speed runs or whatever. That was it. But they supplied those. And if you have a little mini game jam, it's like, hey, everybody, we're going to make Zelda-themed games. We got an asset bundle coming out for free. Here's an asset dump that we're sending you guys that you can download from the in-game asset store. There's a bunch of DLC.
Have like the rule sets like game jams do. Like, what kind of game can you put together in 48 hours using the Zelda assets or whatever? Like the Zelda.
Oh, God, that'd be so cool. Yeah. So cool. maybe someone will make Sunset Overdrive now that the Sony PlayStation has re-upped that trademark. Sony has trademarked Sunset Overdrive, which to me is beautiful. So that game is an Insomniac game. It's not an Xbox game, as some people might think it is, but it is actually wholly owned by Insomniac. Now, maybe it had some exclusivity on Xbox. I'm not sure. That's why it never came to PlayStation, but I mean, look at that. Beautiful. I love that key art right there. It's so gorgeous. And that's like the game style. It really does. It really
does. That was a great early generational game for that system. Yeah. It had such a cool, like visual, like aesthetic, like the whole energy drink nonsense was very fun. And it's got visually, it's very charming.
And I'm so glad. I mean, if Sony's somehow bringing this back, whether it's just the original game, maybe a remaster version, because you can play it on Steam, I think, and a couple other.
It's on like Game Pass
and stuff. But bring it to,
it's fast too, which fast. I love a nice fast shooting game.
And you know what, with Sony sort of dying for games, I mean, they're losing the, they've been losing the PR war to Microsoft with all the Bethesda and all the Microsoft Studio stuff. If they can come in, swoop in and say, hey, we got a bunch of other projects, stuff that you guys already know about, like Sunset Overdrive isn't Elder Scrolls, it's not Starfield, but it's a really nice IP, it's a fresh IP that people love. It had a niche audience that is still there. It's people still kind of crave this game, and
Sony, I mean, they were really deep into, because remember they had the list where it's like, what games do you want to see come back? And and they really worked hard to get that. They love a good cult classic, and I think Sunset Overdrive is falling into that cult classic phase of things. So
I agree. I completely agree. Last but not least is, I'm gonna click back out. You guys get to see behind the scenes. Discord's Rebound is PlayStation, which I think is just really funny. After all that Microsoft stuff and Discord for sale and everything that Discord wanted to go alone, they ended up going to PlayStation, which I think you were saying it in the group chat is really smart for Sony.
Sony needs it for their, because PlayStation Plus isn't the interface for all of this stuff is not the greatest for the PlayStation ecosystem. So shoving Discord in there, and just if every company switch to Discord for the voice chat stuff, and I would be, I'd be thrilled. That's
totally okay with it.
The most convenient. Microsoft must have made a really, like, I wonder what they did. Like, there must have been some choice where, like, that Discord wasn't going to be happy with, like, seeing their hard work get folded into Teams,
right?
And then, like, oh well, fuck these guys. Microsoft must have made some sort of, said, well, when, if we buy you, this is what's going to happen, and we're going to do this. I'm like, you're going to put a lot of our guys out of work, so I don't think we...
And this arguably, so what it is, it's Sony took a, they already had a little bit of ownership in investment in Discord. They've upped that investment even more now, and they're saying, hey, we're going to put like, we're going to roll Discord into PlayStation, you know, part of your online experience.
It's the video game Hulu, basically.
It really is. Yeah.
It's like Disney kind of had an investment in Hulu, and then with Disney Plus launch, they put more money into Hulu, especially after they bought Fox. And so it's like, okay, here we go.
So it's, I think it's a great investment for PlayStation. It's great for Discord. It keeps things independent-ish enough where I don't have to worry about, like, stuff that we write in our Discord appearing in a Microsoft server later on.
Yeah, that's. But, I had a friend who said, like, we use Teams at work, and I don't need them to know but the other stuff I'm doing on Discord. Like, I don't need to. I don't need to explain to them what my podcast is when they
exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I think it's actually. I think it's a it's a match made in heaven, and I think it's something that that it'll be good for both. But I think that was that was it for the news. For this week. I'm sure there'll be more popping. It's going to be a busy, from all intents and purposes, it's going to be a busy week. I know there were like a lot of monetary results were over the last week. Nintendo, Sony, like everyone's making tons of money because of the pandemic and some of the yearly stuff.
We got some more Nintendo sales numbers showing.
Just like, wild sales numbers. Yeah. They're unstoppable right now. I think we have 1 month until 1 month and 3 days until E3 kicks off. And so I think maybe either our next episode or the episode after, we may have to do our big prediction show, since we actually have an E3 thing to predict this year.
Hey.
So that'll be kind of fun. But let's get into some of the stuff we've been playing. I'm going to let you go first, and then I'm going to dive into some of my things, because you're just going to have a blast with some of the idiocy that I've been playing.
I have been playing Resident Evil Village.
Yeah, I want to hear about this.
That's all I've been playing. I paused my game. I am about to hit the final boss. Immediately after I hang up this, I'm jumping back in, and I'm probably going to beat that game
tonight.
I'm most definitely going to beat the game tonight. Fuck, man. I love this game.
Yeah, sweet.
I loved it. So, did you play 7?
Yes, I haven't completed 7 yet, but I'm gonna get back into it. I really did. I really liked 7, and I think you and I talked about it. Playing it in VR.
Yes, that was. I just before this came out, I just finished up my second ever playthrough of 7. This time not in VR.
Okay.
Because it's on Game Pass, so I was able to just sort of play it on my laptop, like. Crawl into bed, and I could play it that way if I felt like it. And I did Not a Hero Chris Redfield expansion is free.
Nice.
So got to play through that, and this picks up not super long after the events of 7. It starts hard, and it goes for it. It's kind of. So all the stuff that you've seen, is all the castle stuff. So the two demos, the village and the castle demo, that is very, very early in the game. And I was actually kind of blown away that all of the messaging is around the castle, like every bit of advertisement and everything. And, you got Demotre with her big giant vampire lady stuff. And that is such a small part of the game. I was actually kind of like, when I was done with that, I'm like, wow, there is a shit ton of this game left.
Really?
Yeah. It's so funny because there's none of the other marketing has given you too much of
any idea of what's going on besides Lady Demetre. Yeah.
So it's like, because they don't show you, like, you've gotten a couple of glimpses of the other, like, main villains of it and some of the Chris stuff, but boy, it has taken some wild turns.
Love it. All right.
and some the world building stuff, like, it's connecting to a lot of the previous Resident Evil games.
Is it really? Okay.
Yes. Yes. It's definitely connecting a lot of dots to the earliest, back to Resident Evil 1 and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So there's some dots being connected.
So it really is firmly in the Resident Evil universe.
Yes.
In the reverse.
Yes, it is definitely.
You know what I've liked? And so I just, the game's like what, 7-8 hours long, maybe 10-12 if you're like a super completionist.
I think it's like 13 if you're like super completion-y.
Okay.
I think I'm about 9 hours in at this point.
That's awesome. That's one thing I love about the Resident Evil games is that they're, apart from like, I think 6 is like 20 hours and 4 is like 11 or 12 or 13 hours. They're all, you can knock out a Resident Evil game in a day if you really, if you just sit down in the morning, you'll be done by night. It's like, they're all like 8 to 10 hour games. And that's if you're just kind of going through, which I think is just the perfect length for a, for me, especially right now, trying to get through any type of game, the perfect length is like this, these 8 to 10 hour games. I think Resident Evil definitely seems to get that. So I've been keeping track. The only thing I've been keeping away from like plot details and just seeing, you know, a couple of the flashes here and there that, that pop up on social media, but everybody's saying, you know, it's the length of the game, that 7 to 8 to 10, whatever hours, is perfect for
absolutely the game. I'm at the final part of this game, and it's just like here's something. It's in terms of how it plays, it is sort of a combination of 7 and 4.
Okay.
There's a lot of 4 stuff in it, especially when you're like in the village, and because it is open world, because like you have sort of like the village is sort of the hub. And it's kind of got this kind of Zelda-y vibe to it, where you're like going around finding new key. You know, it's got this Resident Evil stuff where you're finding keys and collecting everything, just like 4 did. But like, yeah, so it's like, you know, oh, and now you have to go to this location, and it has like the, what's the best way to put it without giving away too much? Like the beasts. In Breath of the Wild, where it's just like, okay, you have to go here, and this is going to be your like objective, is to, because you have to get the next important collectible, and so you have to go to this area, and it's like a series of haunted houses. It's like Hollywood Horror Nights at Universal Studios. It's like the castle is its own thing. There's a dollhouse thing. There's a water thing. A factory thing. So like it's like you're going to different levels, basically. It's really cool. It's a really cool layout. It's not going to be super replayable, unless you want to collect everything. But I think in terms of like, because there are a couple of moments that will sort of slow everything down. The one that you probably saw me on Twitter last night, the dollhouse that I was absolutely tortured by. Which is the next section after the castle, is very slow, and it's basically an escape room. Very, very, very minor spoilers, but they take away all of your like items, and it's just you like solving puzzles and going through and doing stuff in there, and it's very cool, but it's going to not be fun on a replay, because what's cool about it is the unknown, and once you kind of know the gimmick of this level, it's just gonna be a time waste. It's scary. It's got me a few times. In the castle there's nothing more terrifying than like hearing her footsteps or opening the door and there she is, like, it's scary. And there's a couple of very fun directions where they like lead you to a scare point, which is very fun. Like they intentionally, it's like the dogs jumping through the window goof in the first game where the dogs crash through the window. And when they did the remake, how they changed it, like you're expecting the dogs to crash through the window, but they don't. But when you go back later, they finally do. It's that kind of stuff where they know where the perfect way to scare you at that moment is. So, it's good. It's very good. And it's, you know, it's werewolves and vampires.
Those are always good things.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's, yeah. And
how it controls well?
Yeah, it's Resident Evil 7. Okay. It's exactly the same.
Same engine. They've been refining that engine.
it's really well too.
I mean that's the same one they're using for Monster Hunter Rise, I think, for the Switch, and they're, you know, all the other Resident Evil games that have come out recently. So Capcom's engine is pretty awesome.
And they also streamlined the inventory system. It's a very Resident Evil 4 inventory system, or like any early Resident Evil where you're like shifting things around and stacking them and like moving them. So it's like, okay, if I put these here, playing Tetris with your inventory. And even the merchant character that's in this will say, what are you buying?
Oh, sweet.
And then laugh about, and then laugh about it and says, that's just something an old friend used to say. So
great. It's I love those little pokes. That's awesome.
Fantastic. I fucking love this game.
Great. And that's good.
I can't wait to see, because there's a lot of questions I need answered, and I'm hoping this last stretch is like a Metal Gear Solid-esque like movie of just bonkersness.
2-hour CGI film. Yeah. Everything.
It's been bonkers, and I hope this, because it's gone, like this ending, it's so far it has gone off the rails, and there's been some big set piece, there's been some set piece stuff that has been real goofy towards the end here too, which I've been a big fan of. So
one of my favorite aspects of some games, of a lot of games, is where like you'll be watching something and then some big reveal will happen, you'll be like, what but then at the same time think, but that works. It totally works. It's so cool, you know?
Well, it's funny too, because it's hard to... Ethan as a character is very weird. And they don't really explain a whole lot about Ethan, because if you remember, there's a scene in 7 that is very odd, that is optional at the very beginning. When you fight Jack for the first time, there's a moment where he can cut off your leg with his little shovel.
Oh, that's right.
Then he just puts his leg back on, pours the medicine over it, and he's fine. And you know, in this, you know, his hands get fucked up again in this.
Sure.
And it just like, what's Ethan's deal?
Why is he always getting injured?
Yeah. I understand the hand
doing
part
it to yourself,
because it's the
only
thing you can see, so you got to kind of visualize the damage with his hand.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Resident Evil Village.
Yes, fantastic. Yeah, highly recommended. A+ for me.
So sweet. Sweet. I'll be hopping into that. My first Resident Evil was 4. For the Wii, I actually played the motion version, and I loved it. It was so good. And then I've been kind of nipping at Resident Evil since then. Like, I think I played the Revelations games, which were surprisingly really good. I picked up, I think, the original version, the remake for Switch. I think that was available for a while ago. So yeah, I'll be slowly moving them over to them. And 7.
You know, people always kind of make fun of like the original Resident Evil, but I like the cinematic way, like the first Resident Evil and the remake handled it with like the forced perspective stuff. The camera is here because it is trying to replicate a horror movie where, you know, people's like, well, there's something down the hallway and I can't see it. How am I supposed to shoot it? That's the point. You're supposed to go down the hallway. It's like, the tank controls are awkward. But it all sort of blends into creating this very scary experience, like forcing you to like, I hear it. I know it's at the end of this hallway. I know I am going to step forward. The camera's going to shift and there's going to be at least one zombie there, but I really don't know what that number really is.
Sweet.
I think that's the first person stuff really kind of helped this direction a lot. I hope that this, it keeps going. I hope 9 follows this, because I just recently played 2 and 3, and as much as nostalgic I am for 2, I never liked 3 that much. Playing him that way just reminded me how much more I love 7 and what it's doing.
A
much scarier game. This one's obviously more action oriented, but it's still very scary. It's found a good medium between action and scary. Which 4 did a pretty good job of, even though 4 was way more action than scary. I think this one blends that line a little better. So I hope that they are going to be remaking 4. It's obvious.
Yeah, Well, they know the VR. I was gonna say the VR version is coming out, but they got to be remaking an actual, an actual full on remake.
And I have to assume 4 and Code Veronica.
Yeah,
getting them because you don't really need to do anything else after that. But I really do hope the next mainline one stays with what they're doing here.
Yeah, sure.
And 7 was written by like an American writer, which is why it was so
so different.
First time ever. Yeah. So why it was so different and why it was such more horror focused, like slasher horror focused. So
stuck in a house, stuck in a mansion.
Yeah. So yeah. Oh yeah. Cool. 9 better be first person spook game again.
Love it.
Yeah.
Anything else you've been playing?
No, I got to play. Okay. I finally got into the Xbox cloud
game. Okay. Yeah.
So
I just kind of trying it out.
Playing with that works like shit on my phone, but works great on my laptop.
Can't the Apple and we haven't talked about the Apple stuff, which has been really interesting. The Apple versus Epic stuff this week, but we'll wait till Aaron is on the episode because he does he has a good wrap of those. But I'm hopeful that they figure out a way to get an actual Xbox streaming app on the because the app has been finished. They just Apple won't approve it apparently. Yeah. So. Yeah, when they get that up and running, it'll be awesome. But
can't wait.
I'm gonna talk about what I've been playing now. Okay. I'm gonna start with the one that I've completed, and I can finally never talk about again. That's Bravely Default 2. Okay. This is I fall into this habit, and I talked about it before, where I spend months playing an RPG because I nip at like play an hour and then like 20 minutes the next day, and then I'm like 5 minutes at a time, like 5 times throughout the day. So I'm never like getting to actually sit down to play a game. And JRPG, and I'm a huge JRPG fanatic. I love it. I love the grinding aspect of it. Took me long enough. Bravely Default 2 has a moment, and I'm kicking myself for not doing this earlier. There's a moment in the game, I think there's like 7 chapters in it. Chapter 6, you can actually kind of make it through to chapter 5 or 6 relatively quickly. There's a moment where you get one specific job. I think it's like chapter 6, maybe chapter 5, but you can... chapter 5, you become incredibly OP after that. And the game becomes far too easy. I went from like, I think you max out at level 99, and I went from level 65 to level 99 in a span of like 3 hours. And that's just like using there's like a job skill there, and it just, that's it. And then you get like, just like every other Bravely Default game, there's like this growth egg thing where you can get enhanced experience and the job points to to grow quicker, and that along with this job thing is just like the game. I just went nuts, and the final boss, even on the hardest setting, the final boss was just incredibly easy. So you become far too, and I'm so pissed off at myself that I waited that long to get this job skill set up, and then realize how I could break the game. And it's essentially, okay, I'm going to spoil it briefly because it's not story related. The job, there's a job in there. It's like the last job you get in the story, the last job you get that gives you this skill called obliterate. You activate the skill, something like obliteration or obliterate. And any enemy you face that's 20 levels below you, and you never know what level you're at, what level your enemies are at, but you can kind of get a sense that if you're in like chapter 5, then 20 levels below you is like chapter 3. If you're in chapter 6, 20 level, and is in like the area for all this stuff. So if you put this skill on there, it literally is instant death to all the enemies the minute the match starts, the minute the battle starts. So battle starts, you have your skill equipped, boom, all the enemies die, and you get all the experience and the JP for that. And it's like, And then once you learn how to chain and enemy attacks, which give you even more experience, more job points, enemy battles, I should say, you just start racking up the experience, the job points, and you're seeing that number go up, and you're seeing all the jobs fill up, and I think, oh man, that's just like, Nintendo's- literally, I could have chopped out 40 hours of the game, at least 40 hours of the game of actual play time, if I had done this earlier, and it just would have made it, bonkers, but whatever.
Nintendo loves figuring out ways to like weirdly ruin the grind of things and stuff.
Yeah,
because remember that was like Earthbound. Like if enemies that were too below you, like if you got into the combat scenario with them, they would just run away because they were scared. Like,
Yep. So, anyways, this was I'm done with the game. I'm never talking about it again. by the way, I will say one thing: super, really disappointing ending. Like just the way that the plot wraps up was. it's the worst of the three Bravely Default games by far, and it's just a bad ending in general. I mean, it's like PlayStation 1 era endings where you're like, wait, that's it? That's all I get? It's Xenogears. What was Xenogears is the one game from Square Enix, right? I think it was like the one RPG in the Xeno series they had. It's remember that final disc. They never completed the game. They just put everything in like a text document to pop up. That's basically this ending of this game. So disappointing. It ruined the rest of the game for me by doing that. So whatever.
It's that Simpsons episode. Like, oh, how did the kids get off the island?
Yeah,
let's just say it was Mo.
that's basically what it was. Yeah, it was Mo.
Is it a Rent, Pass, or Buy? What is the...
Oh, it's Rent. It's
Gamefly it.
Because it's the kind of game, like, again, it's... There are some interesting story elements, beautiful artwork, but the colors, the palette swap, literally there's palette swapping after chapter one. You're just fighting against swapped palettes of enemies. I really do think they rushed this game. I think they wanted to get it out by a certain time before whatever Nintendo's plans were for the rest of 2021.
What's the team on Bravely?
The same team that did Octopath Traveler, the same team that did, you know, doing Project Triangle. So it's that Square Enix kind of sub that sub team. But this does feel like Square or Nintendo. It's probably Square. Who knows? Just said, you know what? Let's just get it out. Let's just get it done. However you want to do it, as quick as possible. Do palette swaps. Just finish this ending. It really does feel like it's not half-assed, not incomplete, but just it feels kind of rushed, some of the aspects of it. So
it's
playable, it's fun, but
it has the sort of budget mentality where it's just like, let's make this without wasting as much time as possible.
Yep, I think they probably went way over budget on Octopath Traveler and they probably scaled back quite a bit on this game. But then that left a lot of potentially cool things. Like the other Bravely Default games had felt like they had much bigger worlds and much deeper stories and plots. But anyways, all right. So I need a palate cleanse after that. And I went right back to Mario World and Bowser's Fury and completed Bowser's Fury. And holy cow, that is one of the best modern Mario experiences.
It's cool.
I love Bowser's Fury.
I hope they make like a follow-up. Like,
yeah,
I want more of that. They did a really good job at just sort of like
so good
redefining what Mario can be.
Yep. Like that whole era. So that was, it's not the Mario 3D world gameplay, right? It's more of the Mario Odyssey. Actually, it's more of like Mario Galaxy style controls and gameplay from what I figured.
As much as I love Mario Odyssey, isn't a particularly great like Mario game. It doesn't really
feel
like a Mario game. It just feels
This feels like a Mario game. Yeah. there's great moments. There's like 100 shines, which are the cat shines you have to get in this game, in this mini game, this 4-hour mini game, three and a half hour mini game. to be a completionist, then you open up like you can be like Super Saiyan Mario all the time, but it's just freaking it's perfectly set up to let you open up as much as you want to. You have to get 50 shines, I think, to actually beat Koopa. Yeah. But you can get like the first, once you get in a roll, you're unlocking them quite a bit, quite quickly. But then you start to figure out, oh, wait, if I got the shine, like there's this thing called Fury Blocks that you have to blow open. And you find out, they're basically like these silver blocks with Bowser's like face print on them.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to ever blow them up because none of the bombs work, none of Mario's suits work, until Kaiju Bowser pops up and he shoots his flame at you and they blow up and you're like, oh shit, oh, and there's a cat shine there. And I saw all these all over the place. Now I know how to unlock even more cat shines. So you go and unlock like another 5 or 6 or 7, 8 yeah. cat shines. And it's cool because it feels like it's got the depth of a bunch of small Mario games, like a bunch of, you know, Mario levels all linked together, all easily traversable in one area, in one zone. You can zoom into one, get out of that one, go to the next one, but it's all open world. And it's such a great, great feeling experience.
I am so positive that this is going to get the Captain Toad treatment.
Yeah,
it's own spin-off. They're going to. It's going to just get its own standalone thing that's going to expand on like this cool extra thing that was in this game that we made.
Yep.
We can make it, you know, make like a fuller game out of it or a budget game.
Put it in space. Like. Put it underwater. Yeah. And they had a bunch of different biomes in this. So you had like a little mini desert biome. You had an ice biome. You had. It really did feel like. So I'd love to see. The original Super Mario Brothers game done as sort of this one Bowser's Fury type, because it does kind of feel like that in a way.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Oh god, I think you could do some cool.
Just
stuff
this sort of like seamless transition, as if Super Mario Brothers was just one singular experience without like it's level 1-1, 1-2, 1-3. It's just like whoop 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 until the end. Yeah.
Oh, so good, so good. So yeah, Bowser's Fury. Then that got me into playing Mario 3D World again, and remembering all of the ins and outs of that game, and just kind of plowing through those levels because they're just fun. Just joy.
That game is like Mario 3D World is definitely like the Mario 3D experience. Like,
yeah,
I think it does Mario stuff so well, like traditional Mario stuff.
Traditional Mario stuff. Yes. Yeah.
It's basically Mario 64 too. You know, it plays like Mario, like, you know, I still think like the Galaxy games are like the best, like 3D Marios. But they're not really Super Mario-y. Like they get to be a little
right.
Yeah. Odyssey, what we were just saying. Like they sort of it's them redefining what Mario can be and doing it very, very well.
Yeah, yeah.
But like just Mario 3D World is such a nice traditional like Mario.
It really is. It is. It feels very traditional. Just get those jumps because it's some of the jumps you can get kind of miss some landings. That's happened to me a couple times, but it's just so good. It's fun to get back into that game. And again, I like having Mario 3D World, and I like having the 3D collection. I like having these older games because I can jump into them whenever I feel like it. Mario games are really good about that. You don't have to complete a Mario game in one playthrough and never play it again. You can kind of be like, I'm gonna dip back into it again and play it again later on. So play you know, one world now, and then in a month or two hop into the next one.
Yeah, there are times where I'm just like nostalgic for Mario 64, and I'm like, you know, I could just play through Bob on Battlefield, like
there you go,
cars there, and sort of get my sort of nostalgia kick out of it and call it a day. I don't need to get all 120 stars again or whatever.
Play Mario games different, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Another little joyful experience, I've been playing Pokemon Snap. So getting back into that, you're actually out of the 17 friends that I have in Pokemon Snap that are online. You're right. I'm at the bottom and you're right above me. So my goal is to get enough points to just hop over you. Now I'll be number 16 at the end of tonight.
What was it? Did we talk about it last week? I think it just came out last week I played it like the one sit down with it, and I haven't touched it since. And then Resident Evil came out.
That happened to me too. Yep. Yeah. But I, again, a really enjoyable game. I'm not madly in love with it. I never played the original Pokemon Snap game, and I'm not like super in love with this one. I mean, I've done the whole kind of first section, and you do that at night, and you get the glowy Pokemon stuff, and you learn to do fruit, and the whole first area set of sort of a tutorial, and they kind of give you missions, which is actually kind of interesting because that's what I'll be going back to. But it's still an on-rail shooter, which I'm not 100% like sold on yet. But again, I think this is the kind of game that it's a game like this and a game like last year's, Animal Crossing, they feel like just nice little getaways. And I think part of it is just you're on an island, Pokemon Snap, you're on an island with Animal Crossing, and you've literally just gotten away from stuff that's happening anyways. And you've gone away on a little mini vacation. So that's what it feels like. That's why I like it. So I'm about I'm probably about the same place you are. You know, in one sitting, I'm kind of gone through some of the first the first section, and you know, we'll see.
I know we talked about it a little bit last week, because I did say like I was a big fan of the original Pokemon Snap. I mean, I did the whole go to Blockbuster and get some stickers thing.
Yeah. There you go. Yep.
It's just, there's something rewarding about going through and doing better the next time. Getting better shots, and then like having the stage, like learning more tricks as you go along, getting more things and having the stage change a little bit when you come back to it, because like you're further in the game and stuff, and just like getting better photo opportunities and learning like, oh, if I do this, I'll be able to wake this up and create a chain reaction.
And then stuff starts to happen thing. and then down the line, you know, because this Pokemon started to run down the line, the other Pokemons were awake and stuff. So yeah, there's some cool, and that's the kind of stuff that I need to learn.
Because that was the thing, like with the original Pokemon Snap, was like, if you throw an apple into this crater, it's going to awaken something that you don't see that's in there, or it's like you can create the chain reaction that's going to knock a Magikarp into the whirlpool.
There you go.
That is going to create Gyarados or whatever.
So there's that kind of stuff for sure in this.
Cool.
And then the other couple more games here. Double Dragon and Kunio-kun. I got that. I picked it up. I think it was like $10 on sale a couple weeks ago. Yep. So good. I mean, I've just been playing the Double Dragon games, kind of. And again, those were my NES childhood. Was playing renting Double Dragon 2 and Double Dragon 3. But I think a buddy of ours had the original Double Dragon, and we would just go to their house and just play. It's like, hey, let's play Double Dragon. That's the era of games where you're like, you guys want to play Double Dragon? Yeah, let's play Double Dragon. You want to play Blades of Steel? You went back to games over and over and over again, because that's what gaming was back then. It really felt like an at-home arcade experience. And so it was great to get this collection of these games and play it, because it's just so nice and so classic. Like, I don't have to, again, these are the kind of games where I'm not going to like play it, complete it, and wipe it off my Switch. I'm going to play it over and over again. I'll have buddies over, and we might play some Mortal Kombat. We might play some Double Dragon, and we might play some Call of Duty, but these two will always be in the rotation. So it's cool.
That's why I like when they put out that Contra collection. It's just,
I got that too. I got the Contra collection. Yeah. This one, I've gotten the Castlevania collection. It's just nice to have these games for like personal little speed runs. But the other thing, I've played through more of the Miitopia demo, because I didn't really get a chance to play the original game. My daughter did. She plowed through it. But I did this so I could download all of the wild faces that people are putting together for their Miis. And I really do think, I think we talked about it last week or whatever.
Yeah.
I really do think Nintendo can do some fun stuff with this as their actual future Mii maker, put some masks on and makeup and stuff, because it really is kind of fun.
Yeah. It's so weird because, like, it feels like Nintendo, like every once in a while, it's like, oh, Nintendo's like drifting away from the Miis. And then they'll do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, clearly they're not getting rid of the Miis, but they have virtually no presence in the Switch.
Right.
Like, because that was the fun thing. Like, you know, with the Wii, the Miis were like, you know, usable characters and like everything. Yep. Like, but I guess the worst part of that was it kind of stripped away some of the sort of other games
that you would exist. Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, we're not making Mario Golf because we have Wii Golf.
Yes, you know, right.
Like, we're not, there's no new, like, you know, this, what could have been a WarioWare game ends up being like, you know,
Mii Party.
Yeah, Mii Party or whatever, like, you know, that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, it's so weird that, like, I don't know what the future for the Miis hold on the Switch, but
these are popular. Yeah.
Yeah, especially since, like, the whole Mii thing is like, it made sense with the Wii branding, but now now that there's just this weird
Switch. I think we'll get, you know, it'd be interesting to see if we get like Tomodachi Life or other lifestyle games. That's something Nintendo is missing right now. I have to
assume Tomodachi Life is coming.
That was a huge game. Nintendo is missing some of these lifestyle and casual games. I mean, Animal Crossing was one thing, but getting you know, Wii Sports or whatever version, Switch Sports, whatever it's called, would do massive on the Switch. I really do think it would do great on the Switch because people do want some of this indoor, you know, type of gaming stuff. I mean, Ring Fit is doing awesome. We saw the Nintendo number. So yeah, it would bring back more.
It would be nice if they did just like port over
the
Wii Sports games or something. Because it's like, it really is kind of lacking that.
Yep. Kind of Nintendo stuff. Land. Give me Nintendo Land. That's the one I want.
Nintendo Land. Yeah. Fantastic. I love Nintendo Land. I mean,
that
I'm glad
game would be great.
I'm glad we're getting that Mario Golf game. That looks so good. And that's real close. That's next month or something. That's next,
like, so yeah. This month you got Miitopia. What they got the detective games,
Famicom games.
Yeah. Next month you got Mario Golf and you got the Builder.
Yeah.
And then July you have Zelda remake, and you got another game. And then August I think is No More Heroes. Yeah. So Nintendo has a pretty strong lineup. I mean, they've actually had a really good, when you think about 2021 compared to 2020 and before that, they actually have even compared to like Sony and Microsoft in terms of first party stuff, they really have a pretty strong.
Yeah, first party and exclusive lineup. Stuff is looking pretty pretty stout. This
the last game I will. It's this is a Nintendo ish game, and I'm just gonna play it. All right, I'm gonna show you what I have here. Get ready. Downloaded the ROMs or for this. The Faces of Link, the Faces of Evil, and I will. This is a Philips CDI games that Nintendo does not remember. Will not talk about. If you think that they won't talk about the Virtual Boy, they still manage to put Virtual Boy stuff here and there. They'll do a fun little nod to it.
Yeah, it was in Tamagotchi Life.
Tamagotchi Life had it. Yeah, I think it was even in like Smash Brothers had some whatever spirit or something. You will never see this ever. Because these games are so bad.
I wonder if they like owned these outright, like fully, wholly, what is there, how does it exist, like in the world? It's like,
right? Who?
So you're playing this?
This is I'm playing this one. I'm not playing it in front of you, obviously. This is the video, I'm playing this, and I started with the keyboard, and then I plugged in the controller. You can find the ROMs online, since you can't get a hold of these games anywhere. The controls are so bad.
This is one of the worst feeling games
agreed.
I have ever played.
Oh my god, you can't jump very high. I mean, look, even the guy who's playing this is trying to figure out how to jump and attack. Like there are two frames for attack. There's attack and there's not attack. There's Link standing there, and then there's Link, you know, with this sword force.
Even look at the crouch. The crouch is you barely go down.
You barely go down. Your hat's still up at the top. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's
such an obtuse puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
It asks you to do things that it gives you virtually no hints about. And you're just supposed to sort of guess in a lot of ways. For some of this stuff, it is just.
And the animation is part. so you see the CGI, this overlay. Yeah. What they wanted to do was take the animation from the cartoon that was really popular, right? Like around that time, they had the Link Legend of Zelda cartoon that was part of the Super Mario Brothers show, like a few years before then.
The excuse me, princess.
Yeah, exactly. And that's who this Link basically is.
Yeah.
And they tried to
just
also put
real. Dumb as a sack of rocks.
It really is. Really is. And they try to PC it. When I PC it by personal computer. So like the PC games of that era when CD-ROM games were first starting up, they're trying to do.
It has a poor man's LucasArts UI.
Yes. Yes. There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
It's just so not enough rubies.
Yeah, go figure.
They're not called rubies.
Yeah,
the rupees,
and some of the like certain character designs, like the Octoroks and stuff, are just terrible.
My goal is to play through this just so I can
the
Goranu instead of Goran. Yeah, oh god, it's so bad.
The Zelda game. That's,
Wanda game. I have that downloaded as well. Yeah, I haven't played that, but
is visual vomit.
Can't wait. I might have to stream these on the side questing channel as I'm playing it.
The Zelda game is top down.
Uh-huh.
And it uses sort of like the textures are like realistic kind of, but they all just look terrible and everything starts blending into the background. There are times man. Where you so don't bad. Even know. It's like, where is this a door or is this no, that's just is this part of the is this just what the texture looks like or is this a wall? What is
God, it's just so bad. So bad. Well, I'm gonna torture myself and play through it because that's the kind of person I want to be when it comes to this these games.
Oh, yeah.
I never played them on CDI. I didn't own a CDI.
Nobody owned a CDI.
Nobody owned a CDI. Yeah. Everyone owned a PlayStation instead. This is what birthed PlayStation was these two games. So that's my goal is to check these out.
What was the because they also did
these like, are my Resident yeah. Evils basically because yeah. they're that terrifying.
Yeah. Because like you, what was the other like Hotel Mario was the other
Hotel Mario was on there too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah it was right, the other Nintendo IP that made its way into that.
So maybe it'd be good to play through these. I like that idea. Okay, I'll be playing them and I'll play through it on Twitch and YouTube and do some streaming. So
I just want to I want to join you and just harass you while playing.
Perfect. I'll let you know and yeah, we'll pick a day. That sounds great. That's it. That's all we've been playing. I mean, yeah. It's a lot, a little bit here and there, but it's it's plenty. That's it for this week. I said we'll get done quick. We still took an hour. So whatever.
That's quick. Good times. That's quick for us. Yeah. Yeah.
We would have had a bunch
next week will be a good week. It's you got that Nintendo Detective Club thing and Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. Yep. Yeah. That's preloaded on a lot of folks' consoles. Yeah. So
it's my birthday next week. So
nice. Happy early birthday, JJ. Early birthday.
So I expect a parade or something.
Yeah. We'll have the cakes ready. Yeah. Definitely. Excellent. Yeah. All right, man. Well, thank you so much, JJ, for hopping on tonight on this beautiful Sunday evening. Thank you to all of our viewers and listeners. If you're listening to the show, you can find us as always at sidequesting.com, at sidequesting on Twitter, sidequesting TV, I think on Twitch, sidequesting on YouTube and everywhere else. Where can we find you, JJ?
Oh, the __J on Twitter, DisneyCompendium.com for my Disney and movie podcast. Always I always good. Forget to say this part because a while ago on Twitter, Jeff Grubb retweeted a Disney show and he says this is the only Disney show I've ever listened to, so it's the best Disney show I've ever listened to. So I asked him can I say that my Disney show is the best Disney show you've never listened to?
Oh, love it.
And he said yes. So it is it has the Jeff Grubb seal of approval. It is the best Disney show Jeff Grubb has ever listened to. So.
Love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. Go. Excellent. Excellent.
I need to get a little like starburst on the
And you can find me at Dolly Domofsky. And that's it. See you all in the next episode of The Charles is here in my head.